This week on Desert Digest, the dining podcast of Phoenix Magazine, we've got Melissa Maggior of the Maggior Restaurant Group. You know who they are and what they do. She has a new restaurant coming out. We're going to talk about that. Also, new restaurant openings and closings. What's going on at Chase Field? Some interesting things. All this week on Desert Digest. Welcome to Desert Digest, the dining podcast of Phoenix Magazine. I'm Craig Outhier, editor. I'm here with Leah Lemoine, managing editor. Hey, Leah.
Hey, Craig.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great. Thank you. And we also have in studio, virtual studio, this week, Melissa Maggior, a member of the Tommaso's restaurant family clan here in the Valley. People are very familiar with what they do. The Sicilian Butcher, Hash Kitchen. And then Melissa is the engine behind the family's latest concept, the Italian Daughter. Hey, Melissa, how are you?
Hey, how are you, Craig? Hi, Leah. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on board. This is only our fifth, I think, dining podcast, so bear with us. You know, we're still teasing it out and everything, but we're excited to talk about your new restaurant. And before we get into that, we have our news and notes segment, Tip of the Tongue, to inform our readers, listeners about things happening in the Valley dining scene. This week, reopenings and hours expanding galore. Mora Kitchen, or Mora Italian, rather, on 7th Street, that great Italian restaurant from celebrity chef Scott Conant, is reopening on April 9th. It has a reopening date. It was pretty much closed through most of the pandemic. Also, the Mastro family, speaking of great Valley dining clans, are expanding their hours in their steakhouse empire, Steak 44, Dominic's, Fish 44. What is it, Leah, again?
Ocean 44.
Ocean.
Yes.
Ocean 44. Sorry.
44 Fishes. It's the new right. Seven Fishes, the Italian thing.
Right, exactly. It's a new holiday. Last solved December. They're expanding all their hours to pre-COVID levels. All very exciting. And Melissa, probably, you know, just a function, you have to do a kind of a cold calculus. Do you have the people to come into the restaurant? Can you expand your hours? Do you have the manpower? I mean, have you guys, you know, gone back to your pre-COVID hours yet?
We have gone back to our pre-COVID hours. However, we don't have the manpower. We're just, each person's doing the job of two people versus one. It's been really hard to find people to get back to work in our industry, especially. It's been across the board, everyone I talk to, not just us. So it's been a struggle. I'm opening on April 14th with or without an entire staff,
right?
Because I want to get open. So,
and your restaurant is going to be in Scottsdale?
North Scottsdale, yes.
North Scottsdale, sort of in that, is it the Borgata area? Where is that?
No, it's much more north. So Pinnacle Peak and Scottsdale Road.
North Scottsdale.
It's a road trip to get to me. But
like that, you know, that area would have been North Scottsdale 20 years ago, 30 years ago. You're in the true north. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. But that's it is hard to find manpower. It's sort of like, you know, we've used this analogy before when the construction industry imploded in the Valley in the 2008 during the downturn, all the labor left town. And then when they wanted to start building houses again, there was nobody there to do it. Kind of similar. A lot of people have left the industry, it seems like,
the food and beverage industry. Absolutely.
Well, definitely a challenge for you guys, and, you know, best of luck, of course. Also this week, new Buck and Ryder in Scottsdale. Speaking of Scottsdale dining news, up there by the Americano, also sort of North Scottsdale, although not as north as Pinnacle Peak, right there on, what is that, kind of Mayo and Scottsdale Road. The Americano is also there. Speaking of Scott Conant restaurants, I think he's also involved in that one, or at least part of the same restaurant group. So interesting little, you know, wellspring of restaurants happening there. And also, changes afoot at Chase Field. You know, one of the cool things about Diamondback games is how they've been throwing this creative energy into their ballpark food. Every year they have a new crazy hot dog or sandwich, you know, like a croque monsieur deep fried with cornmeal batter around it and covered in, you know, maple syrup. I don't know. Lots of crazy stuff. Delicious food. fun ballpark food. This year, I think there's a challenge because fewer fans are going to be there, but Gadzooks, the enchilada and soup place in the Valley here, I think they're mostly enchiladas at this point, are going to be at Chase Field this year. And then out at Chase Field, the TGI Fridays, that big TGI Fridays kind of hanging there over left field is closing, which is interesting. And also Game 7 Grill across the street. You know, not to offend any TGI Friday fans out there, but this might be addition by subtraction. Apparently they're looking at maybe more of a local concept there. You know, maybe Melissa, a hash kitchen?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Would we have to start liking baseball though?
You probably would. Come on now. I don't know
that. It might have to be in the lease negotiation that we don't have to watch a game. Then we'll go down there.
Is your brother Joey at all into baseball?
No, I mean, we're Italian. We grew up doing different things with bats and we play soccer, but we don't.
Oh, there it is. Right. Well, you know, you do have a strong European connection, so I get it. Football. Well, that's funny. I didn't want to, you know, blow the news in case that was happening, but hey, shot in the dark, who knows? hopefully something more local. Hopefully you can still get, you know, local beer there, that kind of thing, but we'll see what happens. And then other openings and closings in the Valley this week. State 48 Brewery opening Gilbert. Always good to see craft breweries expand, local ones and open. We're truly in a golden era, I think, of craft beer. And then also, this is an odd name. I love it when new restaurants open and the names are just bizarre. I mean, you know, I find them on Yelp to, you know, expose one of my little hacks here. But this one's called Forefather's Cheesecake in Queen Creek. Forefather's Cheesecake. I mean, it's like, you know, Forefather's is a good, it's kind of a fun, you know, like, you know, it's your ancestors, your relatives. Maybe did anyone's forefather specialize in cheesecake?
I wasn't sure if it was forefather or forefather.
Forefather's cheesecake. Kind of like that. As long as it's not, you know, I don't know. Cheesecake. But anyway, that's opening in Queen Creek. Gets the award for the weirdest name of the month, beating out, I think, barely Clean Eats in the West Valley, which opened a couple weeks ago, which is also an odd name for a... Have you heard of it, Melissa? Have you seen it at all?
I have not. No, I have not.
It's a good thing to stipulate, though, that your eats are clean before people...
That you're clean, right.
I'm going to keep an eye on their health board score, though. I mean, you know, hopefully it's truth in advertising. We'll see.
That's
better,
right,
than dirty eats.
Themselves up.
Yeah, exactly. And then closings this week. Since we last talked last week, Strata Kitchen officially closed from Michelin starred and James Beard award-winning chef Alex Strata. He is changing his concept, Strata Kitchen, which he opened last year, to something maybe a little more formal. It's called Campo. It's going to be more like an Italian farmhouse fair. That's opening in May. And then, as we also discussed last week, the Tuck Shop is finally closed, that great eatery and bar in the Coronado neighborhood, which is going to be the new home of the Coronado, which is a vegan restaurant that was operating on 7th Street. It's going to move a little bit east there into the neighborhood itself. And then that's the last piece of, Grace Unger was the restaurateur who was opening a restaurant. She bought the Tuck Shop in the mid 2015-ish. She opened Josephine last year, which was a, you know, kind of a global French concept in the Roosevelt Arts District. But it happened right at the outset of the pandemic. And so it didn't last very long. It's kind of, you know, a bummer to see that happen. Yeah. But we knew there were going to be some casualties of this. So and that's it for openings and closings. But, you know, I got to thinking about, rebrandings this week, restaurant rebrandings, that kind of thing, changing concepts, as kind of you're doing with, you know, with the Italian Daughter. So I thought I'd come up with a rebranding quiz for you two. Could you, I know. We'll see how dialed in you both are. So I'm going to throw one question at each of you, kind of keep informally score. It's all for fun. You know, there's not any real significance here. It's not one of you is a better or worse person.
I'd rather let you win, honestly. I'm not a competitive person.
All right, here we go. Earlier this year, the new owners of this restaurant launched Copper 48 in downtown Gilbert after buying the restaurant or the previous restaurant from celebrated Valley chef Gio Osso. What was the name of the original restaurant in Gilbert that was, you know, what it was before they changed it to Copper 48? Melissa, do you know the answer?
I do not know the answer to this.
It is Nico's Heirloom. That was the name of it. So Nico's Heirloom changed to Copper 48. Kind of interesting. Leah, one for you. Hoping to vary things up within his sprawling restaurant empire, Chef Christopher Collins rebranded his Phoenix location of this popular Scottsdale eatery as the McIntosh a couple of years ago. What's the name of the Scottsdale eatery that became the McIntosh?
He has so many concepts now, and I get them all confused
because he's
changing the names of them.
Right.
But I think I'm going to guess Grassroots.
Grassroots. That's okay. Right.
Yay.
And then he has the Collins Craft Kitchen.
Yes.
Was on Scottsdale. That became something else. Or Camelback Road. That became something else as well. But yes, he has definitely a lot of different concepts out there. All right, Melissa, back to you. Beloved by hardcore Arcadia foodies, this upscale Italian seafood restaurant from Chef Colin Campbell ended its life as Bar Pesce, a more casual concept, in late 2018. So what was the name of the original restaurant that he turned into Bar Pesce to kind of make it more accessible and, you know, lower the price point? Do you remember that?
Okay, I got to tell you, I need a disclaimer. I just moved back here from California to be closer to family. So.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
I'm like beating everyone in this trivia game right now.
Yeah, that's fine.
The Italian seafood place that I have absolutely no idea.
Well, that's all right. It was called Crudo.
Oh, Crudo.
So that's interesting. So you were in California for a while. Well, before
I was in California. Since 1996.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. Well, let's blow through this rebranding quiz so we can get to that stuff. I think that's what people want to hear. Leah, teppanyaki question. A popular silver fox / cougar hangout called Sapporo in Scottsdale became this similar concept in 2019. Also a teppanyaki restaurant. What's the name of the new restaurant that it became?
Well, our associate editor, Maddie, did a blog on this. So I remember reading that. And I believe it is called Kasai, if I'm
Kasai.
Yes.
Yeah, I knew that one.
Okay. You didn't know that one. Oh, I'm gonna give it to you as well then.
There you go. Thank
you. Yeah, interesting. You know, Sapporo was like legendary. It was like, that's where you went if you were a divorced dentist and you're 45 and you wanted to, you know, get your dating life going again. In any case, still a great place for teppanyaki. You could always get teppanyaki there. All right, this one's for you, Melissa. Exchange the word table for kitchen, and you have the new name of this 70-year-old Arizona family Mexican restaurant chain. It's been around for 70 years. There's one everywhere, but they changed the kitchen in the name of the restaurant group to table, probably because of an ownership change, or who knows?
Okay, so it was Cocina, and now it's Mesa?
Yes, but in English, right. Exactly.
And you want the name of it?
Yeah, the name of the restaurant. Yeah, the main name of the restaurant group. No, there was one over there in Tempe next to the railroad track. That's the one I always went to.
Back in the day?
Yeah, it's Macayo.
Oh, Macayo. Okay.
Yeah, they went from Macayo Mexican Kitchen to Macayo Mexican Table. Kind of a, you know, subtle distinction there. But in any case, one similar question for you, Lee, to wrap it all up. Under the command of new chef and co-owner Jorge Gomez, this Valley chain transformed its North Phoenix location into a pilot project for an upscale global cuisine by subtracting the pie in the title and adding a bistro. So what's the name of the company or the restaurant?
Just by
changing pie to bistro.
Yeah, just deducing pie. How many are named pie? I'm going to guess Humble Pie.
Yeah, that's right. Humble Pie. Not, it wasn't Bragg's Pie Factory.
Yeah, no.
Or Bragg's Bistro. Yeah. Anyway, so that was sort of fun. Not the best quiz we've had, but it did inspire this piece of trivia about Melissa. So, you know, people are familiar with the restaurant tradition of the Maggiore family. Obviously, Tommaso's beloved place. Right there on Camelback and 32nd.
Yes.
Right. So, you know, your dad passed away earlier this year. We loved having him in the magazine. Was did that inspire you coming back from California? What precipitated that?
It did. He had been begging me for a long time to come back to Arizona. I had restaurants there and, you know, my kids were in school and I was the last holdout. My mom came back, my brother came back and I was just staying in California and he was begging me to come back. And a couple months before his cancer diagnosis, I just decided that we should do it. And it wound up being the best thing I ever did because had I known that he was going to get sick, you know, I would have come sooner, but I came back right before he was diagnosed. And it's been a godsend that I got to spend all that time with him. And I'm selling my very last restaurant in California. I'm in escrow and I should be out of there completely within the next couple of weeks.
Free and clear. And you've become kind of this wave of Californians coming to Arizona. Everyone's talking about.
But I'm not a Californian.
you're from here originally.
I was in California. Right. Yeah,
exactly. Well, describe your restaurants in California and how that might inform what you're doing at the Italian Daughter opening, you know, later this spring.
My restaurants in California, my first two were very small trattorias, very, you know, food, like foodie based, farm to table. One was in La Jolla. One was in Encinitas. The restaurant that I am selling now was a very large Italian restaurant with a very big bar scene. I'm kind of, with this new concept, I'm going back to my roots in a sense. I'm just doing really classic, good Italian food in an intimate atmosphere and kind of just going back to my roots of, you know, where it all started, like a trattoria style place.
More of a farm to table place?
Yes.
That's great. Are you working with any local, you know, farms or food producers, that kind of thing, to bring some of that, you know.
Right. The local.
Yeah. Arizona essence into it. Yeah.
Yeah. My chefs are working with, we're putting together our menus now, actually. It's been very tough finding staff. So I'm just now rounding out my kitchen.
Yeah.
And we're kind of putting this all together right now.
So it's not just finding servers and front of the house people. It's also been a challenge to find back of the house. Amazing.
Yeah, everything. Yeah.
Is the current restaurant you're selling in California also in San Diego County, or all your whole was your whole operation?
It is. It's in Carlsbad. It's in Carlsbad, California. So it's North San Diego.
That's great. So you know you're going to be part of the, you know, Maggiore restaurant group. You have Hash Kitchen, which is a great brunch place. You know, people love it. For that Italian Sicilian Butcher, rather, is more of, it's not fast casual. It's a sit down place, but a little more informal. You know, it's fun.
It's a little meatballs. Informal. It's a little more young. Yeah.
And you're obviously, you still have Tommaso's, which is fine dining. Will this kind of fit in more in that realm of fine dining, you think, or is it, you know, more casual?
I think I'm going to be somewhere in the middle when I describe it to people. I'll be a cross between, you know, I'm in the middle of Sicilian Butcher and Tommaso's.
Right. That's awesome. So opening later this spring?
April 14th.
April 14th. Right. Great.
Come hell or high water. I am opening April 14th.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Do you have any restaurant experience? The two of you may need to come work. I mean, I have, you know, I still have plenty of jobs to do.
Well, this is good. This might function as a job bulletin board for you. There's someone here is in there like, yeah, come down.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. You know, we're excited to see that happen. And does the family still have a restaurant there on Scottsdale Road between, you know, south of Shea, because there was a seafood restaurant for a while that you operated that didn't, you know, I think you turned into a Hash Kitchen. So maybe that answered my own question.
Right. It was called Cuttlefish, and that's where the original Hash Kitchen is now.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
And do you think Tommaso's is going to continue the way it had? I mean, it was so close, that restaurant, you know, kind of your mothership or your flagship restaurant, so closely tied to your dad. Will it continue kind of in that traditional way, or do you have plans for that to change that as well?
We are going to continue. My brother and I are going to continue my father's legacy there. It's a restaurant that's near and dear to our hearts. I mean, it embodied who my father was, and we're going to continue to continue his legacy there. We are making plans to close and remodel, and we're reopening it in the fall, and it'll be called Tommaso's Italian Legacy.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And so we're going to continue in that. It'll still be fine dining, and it'll just, we want to continue down the path that he started for us there.
Yeah, absolutely. And is it currently open, or have you already closed it for, when you plan to close it for remodeling, in case somebody wants to sneak in there before you do so?
Probably in June.
Okay.
Sometime in June.
That's great. Well, thank you for coming on board this week. We usually end things with Leah finds a national dining story or narrative or trend, and then kind of relates it to what people are doing here in the Valley. What do you got for us this week, Leah?
Yes. So I follow a blogger called Dan Pelosi. He goes by Grossy Pelosi is his handle on Instagram.
I think Nancy Pelosi also has that nickname.
I thought it. You said
I don't.
It.
Right. But, I mean, you were in California. I'm sure you heard it.
Now I love you.
Well, anyways, he's an Italian American on the East Coast, and he recently, a little while ago, posted his recipe for vodka sauce, and it's gone viral. Everybody's making his vodka sauce. They're doing other vodka sauces. I made it. It was delish.
What makes it different than a, you know, typical vodka sauce? Like, what was the, you know, the secret sauce in the vodka sauce?
More cream. Makes it more luscious
and good cream.
Yes. Heavy cream. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So then it got me thinking about, you know, good vodka sauces locally. Melissa, do you guys have any vodka sauces to your knowledge at your restaurants?
We do. We have vodka sauce at all of our restaurants. I will have a vodka sauce at mine as well. It's kind of interesting. It's very trendy across the board. Cacio e pepe, vodka sauce, arancini. You're kind of seeing all these dishes everywhere. Those are dishes that are very old. We've been making those dishes for hundreds and hundreds of years in Italy. Right. And it's interesting to see all of that comfort, just simple food coming back and making a big hit, big splash in our industry.
It's kind of like a couple of years ago, the Manhattan came back, right. All the classic cocktails. Any other places you love to get a vodka sauce in the Valley, Leah?
Yeah, I bookmarked a few. So I love Pizza on Metro, the pizza place. But
right.
They also have a really yummy vodka sauce, and you can get it on multiple pastas, which is fun. Tutti Santi by Nina. They have a really good rigatoni pipitone. I'm trying to do the pronunciation right.
And Melissa, please correct her if she messes up. We're okay with that. We like being edited.
Yes. And that one has ground sirloin in it. So it's a little bit beefier, almost like a cross between a meat sauce and a vodka. So that's fun. And then the last one, of course, DeFalco's classic Italian East Coast style deli. They have a really yummy one. And I like how theirs has more herbs in it, which you don't see all the time. So nice little basil bite.
And maybe for people out there who are vodka sauce illiterate, and I can't say that I'm truly literate, but I believe it's, you're essentially taking a marinara and adding cream. I know that's a gross simplification, but is that it? Sort of?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, well, there's nothing wrong with that. It sounds awesome. And a nice Easter dish, right?
Right.
Very comforting.
Right. A little creamy and yeah, sinful, which you want to eat well. Well, thank you again for coming down to our virtual studio, Melissa. It was great talking to you.
Thank you so much.
Great hearing your story. And the Italian Daughter opening in the Pinnacle Peak area later this month in April. So, you know, good news for North Scottsdalians, which is interesting because, you know, it's an affluent part of the Valley and they definitely love good food up there. But it is kind of a challenge keeping a restaurant going, at least traditionally it has been. You've seen some nice concepts not, you know, thrive right up there. Is it? So I think yours is so unique and you have such a great, obviously, you know, culinary tradition of the family and a great brand. I imagine you'll get some, you know, food tourists.
I hope so. And, you know, this area is really growing. So, I mean, there's tons of building up here and we've got a lot of great restaurants up in this area.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you much for thank you again for stopping by. Next week, I believe we're going to have Anthony Konecchia over at Santan Distilling as our guest, if not next week, very soon. Santan Brewing as well. Also, reminding our listeners, check out the Best of the Valley vote currently going on our homepage. You can access it via our homepage at phoenixmag.com. And hey, vote for Hash Kitchen for best brunch and breakfast while you're there. I'm not saying that, but I think Melissa might be.
I was just, you took the words right out of my mouth. Vote for Hash Kitchen and Tommaso's.
There you go. And that's new restaurant too.
Yes, you next year.
That's right.
Thanks everyone for listening, and thank you for coming in, and we'll see you next week.